if you're innovating, creating, or making a difference.
This show is for you. Welcome to Over Coffee. I'm Dot Cannon. Here on Over Coffee, we talk with artists and innovators about the process of changing the world in terms of what they do.
Welcome to a special edition of Over Coffee. I'm Dot Cannon, and Valentine's Day is 11 days away and counting, and today we are doing a special podcast live from Pipe and Thimble Bookstore, 24830 Narbonne Avenue in the city of Lomita. And we are going to be talking about combining creativity and technology to come up with something really super cool for the special people in our lives. This is our My Techie Valentine panel, and join me right now, three special guests. On my left here is Michael Luong, who is the Los Angeles area manager of Playwell Technologies. And Playwell is a fantastic organization. They teach engineering by using Legos. Michael, welcome.
Thank you very much.
And then next to him is James Castellanos, who is the most, I am told, requested instructor in the history of Playwell Technologies, now that I'm 100%. Embarrassing the poor guy. And he teaches, not only does he teach students, but he also trains instructors. It's great to have you, James. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
And then to his left is Mitchell Malpartida, who is an awesome guy because he has a background in technology, education, but perhaps the very best way to introduce him to you is to say that he is all about combining technology and storytelling to give a great experience. Mitchell, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Before we get going on technology and Valentine's, let's identify a term that I've been using in relation to this panel, which is STEAM. What does STEAM mean in relation to what you do? Michael?
Sure. So it stands for science, technology, engineering, art, and math. Ooh, it's a mouthful there. And yeah, it's really just a way to identify some of the science points that we want to drive home to kids. We want to introduce them to science and technology, engineering, math, and then also art. Let them express themselves through their engineering creations as well. And at Playwell Technologies, we help them build projects, learn about engineering, and let them also express themselves and learn some cool stuff on the way.
James, what are some of the ways using STEAM, as he's just defined it, to get kids that are artists, primarily artists, interested in math and science, whereas if you just said, let's do math and science, they'd probably run for the door?
Yeah, I think like Michael was saying, this is a great way for them to express themselves. And when we come into the classroom, people want to express themselves differently. The more mechanical individuals, the people that are thinking, they're artists too. Their art is a more mechanical art, and that's what they want to express. They want to build a machine for you that works so perfectly, and that's their art, that's their craft. Other people, they want to focus on the color and the aesthetic, and their build is going to be something that complements the overall build in that way. And whatever that is, we want to bring that out in our classrooms.
And you do some very cool things with that. Speaking of cool things, Mitchell, what about STEAM is most magical for you? I understand that you teach technology classes and you also teach STEM classes. What do you do to interest kids in STEAM?
So what I do is I've actually taught from kindergarten all the way to college level, and as well as other educators. And what I focus on is developing the story, right? So let's take technology out of the equation for a second and look at what the mind wants to create, right? And with that, now let's bring the technology back little by little in steps and put it all together to deliver that story.
Before we get to storytelling for Valentine's Day and creating cool stuff, I'd like to know how STEAM and technology became magical for each of you.
Oh, that's a challenging question. I mean, for me, I'll say actually it was because of this job, Playwell Technologies. I was studying to be a teacher. I was pursuing my teacher credential, and I saw this really cool part-time job. At the time, it was a part-time job, just teaching engineering to kids with Lego. And I thought, oh, that's pretty cool. I like stacking bricks. Why not? And through Playwell Technologies, it introduced me personally to just so much cool stuff, not only on the engineering front, but on the creative front, and being able to express, it's a silly thing to say, but being able to express yourself through plastic. Like, it's just this kind of crazy world that I became a part of. And the people at Playwell Technologies have been just super creative, excuse the term, a geeky kind of group of people too. Mm-hmm. And that kind of brought out the creativity or geeky creativity inside of me that I just kind of buried deep down until that point. So that's kind of how that got to me.
I don't think expressing yourself through plastic is foolish or silly at all. I think it's great. How about for you, James?
You know what? When I was a kid, I used to have... like build big dreams as a kid. I remember being with my next door neighbor. Yeah, let's build a robot. And like, yeah, let's do it. But we kind of don't know where to go from this. Where with this? It was a great idea, and I didn't have a whole lot of support early on growing up, which is why I like doing what I do. But I didn't have a whole lot of support growing up in really bringing out those passions that I had. And I guess it's like Michael. I grew up later in life, you know, pursuing other paths and was brought into this job. And I'm more of an art person. I love creating stuff. And this job helped me realize how passionate I was about engineering before. And it's, I mean, working here for the last, going on 6-7 years.
800 years.
Has made me passionate about teaching engineering, how spreading that and not only to my son, to the kids that come my way, my classes. Yeah.
That's fun that you came in as an art person. Yeah. How about for you, Mitchell?
It's definitely a challenging question because there's so much to go into. But just to go briefly into it, just as James mentioned, you know, when I was young, and I think as most kids, and us as kids, you give us a box and it becomes a rocket ship. It becomes a robot. It becomes anything, right? So when I was young, I loved taking things apart and just not being able to put it back together, but taking it apart was great. just like James mentioned, you know, I wasn't supported in terms of taking things apart, but I learned to start putting things back together a little bit. And then what happens, and I think what happens with a lot of children nowadays, is that you kind of get out of being a maker, right? And you start to go into school and you start looking at career, and that's kind of what I went to, right? So I went to like all career oriented, and it was all about, you know, pursuing a profession, right? And leaving that. And what brought me back into making and to teaching was my daughter, or my daughters now, and soon to be son in a couple of weeks. And so my oldest daughter, she's 8, when she was in kindergarten, I wanted to do something for her and her class that would be really cool. And so I was looking for STEM-related products, and I found this product called Little Bits, and I had Legos, right, as we most of us do. And I combined the two together, and I made a little dancing robot and brought it to the class. And as soon as I saw their minds explode with this simple dancing robot, I had to do more. And that's kind of what's got me started in being more active in the STEAM.
I'd love to see that dancing robot. Let's invite our guests to come on in. It's great to see you. And you don't have to whisper or tiptoe. We're talking about Valentine's, STEM, and STEAM, and making cool things for Valentine's Day. We have 3 special guests here, 2 of whom are dads. And with all the creativity, let's talk about what are some of the coolest projects you can come up with for Valentine's Day. Let's say that we have somebody in the audience who might maybe like, oh, I don't know, maybe Star Wars or space or something like that. And someone that's a mom who might like to come up with some Valentines. What would be something that you might like to make for someone like that for Valentine's Day?
Okay, thanks. So one of the things that I do is I like to look at things and just break them down into basic components, right? So in James's example about building a robot and not knowing where to start, so if the interest was in robots and the theme is Valentine's Day, right? Now you put those two things together, it's like, okay, I want to make a Valentine's Day robot that talks or sings to you, right? Sings a love song or maybe dispenses candy or, you know, something like that, or yeah, something cute, right? But you notice it wasn't really about the technology, right? We already identified that. It was about what is that story I'm trying to tell? And this is a Valentine's themed robot that is sharing the love.
Cool. I love that idea. I would think that probably dispensing candy for somebody 7 might be something a little bit more of interest than singing a love song, but I don't really know. How about it, James? What would you come up with?
How about this? So a Valentine's Day themed class would probably look, give them, I'm glad I met this man, incorporating story into your classroom, so crucial, because yes, I can give them something. For instance, I'm going to talk about a conveyor belt right now. Yes, I could tell them how to build a conveyor belt, and that's fine. They build a conveyor belt. What's it to you? But I can tell them to, we're going to build a factory that's going to help share love throughout a certain, you know, maybe Cupid is his love factory, which he uses to spread the love around during Valentine's Day. It's broken. We need to fix it. I'm going to show you how to build a conveyor belt, and we're going to send those love. Maybe we'll build little hearts, and we're going to build conveyor belts to send that love down. And those are the kind of things that I like to do in my class and how we can spread the love.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, sure. Just to kind of piggyback on what James is talking about, in a lot of our classes leading up to Valentine's Day, the kids will request, like, can we do a Valentine's Day theme or can we do something related to it? And sometimes the kids will want to generate their own stories. Like, well, can we deliver letters using a, you know, a gear car to, like, you know, or can we do a color sorting? We have a robotic project that can sort colors, like with a claw. And they'll ask, well, can we sort M&Ms? Like, yeah, but we can't eat the M&Ms afterwards because they've been through Lego, so it's probably not sanitary. But we can sort the M&Ms. So it's a cool Valentine's Day project like that. Sometimes the kids come up with their own thing, and which is really cool too.
What are some of the cool things they've come up with?
Oh, gosh. One project I did with a robotics with Lego class we did was, again, they wanted to, I guess because their teacher had given them those little fun-sized M&Ms or whatever, those colored candies. And they're like, oh, can we do a color sorting conveyor belt? I was like, sure, yeah, that's awesome. We'll put a color sensor over the conveyor belt. If it sees a red or a pink one, cool, it'll put it in this basket. If it sees another color, it'll put it in this basket. That's a really fun one. One project that we're going to show in about 40 minutes, give or take, and hopefully this young man here will be able to build with us as well, is we do what's called love bugs. So there's little bugs that couples can kind of ride on and kind of go, you know, go on their little adventures.
How much fun is that? Yeah. That sounds so fun. Let's talk a little bit about the big kids, too. Suppose the, quote, big kids listening, yeah, and I've never grown up. Let's hope that nobody else ever does either.
That's where the love songs come in, right there.
Is that?
There it is.
That's
there.
The age, right?
Yeah.
What do we have for the big kids in the way of Valentine experiences? Let's just say we're going to take somebody on a date. Doesn't have to be your significant other. It can be your mom. It can be a cousin, favorite friend. You can even come up with something special for a special teacher. What would be something you'd come up with STEAM related for that? I'm going to start with you this time, Mitchell.
Okay, thank you. So something that I discovered from just researching and seeing all the great makers out there is thermoplastic. And what's cool about thermoplastic is that when it's heated, it becomes pliable like clay. And as soon as it cools, it's hard as plastic. And so one of the things that I've done with that is I've handcrafted flowers with embedded LEDs and running off of a coin battery. And that's a nice little simple gift, and it's highly personal.
How cool. Where can people find patterns and things for that, or do you have them on your website?
Well, I just Google images of flowers, and I kind of just go by that and figuring out, again, deconstructing what's making that flower, how many petals do I see for a particular rose or a tulip, etc., and then doing everything, you know, by hand one at a time. So it's a lot, just as with everything else, it's a lot of observation and research. You don't actually necessarily need a tutorial, just look at the world around you.
And that seems to be what it's all about. Anyway, on the subject of things for big kids, James, what would you
for
come up
big
with?
Big kids. Am I talking about a date idea?
Well, it can be any kind. It can be a date with dad, for example. My dad out someplace.
Actually, I was thinking about something for my wife. I hope she's not listening, because this is actually an idea that I had from a while back. When she would come home from work, I wanted to build a Rube Goldberg machine that would trigger when she opens the door. And it would say something like, well, and it could say Happy Valentine's Day. I was thinking more for my anniversary, but this can apply for Valentine's Day. But it would be that would trigger once you open the door. And a Rube Goldberg machine, if anyone doesn't know, it's like a chain reaction machine. So if one thing will trigger another thing. If you could think of the domino effect, not one knocking over the other to hit a ball that does something else. Well, the end goal would be to lift up a sign that said Happy Anniversary or Happy Valentine's Day or something along the lines of that. And Yes, I hope my wife is not listening because it won't be a surprise. And
please like cover your ears, Mrs. James Castellanos.
I think James needs a backup plan.
We won't talk about what the backup plan is, just in case you just heard that. That is a cool idea. Yeah. How about you, Michael?
You know, actually, James stole my idea. The Rube Goldberg machine is a great example of integrating something mechanical or engineering-based with giving older kids the chance of being creative and expressing themselves. Because as I find that as kids get older, they get a little bit more jaded about the whole idea of Valentine's Day, and they're like, whatever. But if you give them a task to build around it and let them express themselves, it becomes something kind of more real and more approachable for them. So yeah, James totally took my idea.
We won't hold it against him, though.
There you go.
Let's pretend that we have something that Lego has been doing recently. By the way, we are not in any way, shape, or form affiliated with Lego here.
Thank you, Richard.
They did not endorse this broadcast. They did not authorize this broadcast. We just think they're very cool, as are Little Bits.
But if they want a sponsor in the future, yeah, I'm sure you just reach out to
I would gladly take the sponsorship.
No. Yeah. But what Lego's if we awesome. Have something that's on your website right now? And let's combine that, Mitchell, with what you were just saying. What if we had a million Legos and we're going to combine that with Little Bits? What's a very cool project we can come up with for Valentine's Day?
Oh, well, as soon as you introduce Legos and Little Bits, now you have, you know, the recipe for success for anything you're trying to do. They really work well together. In regards to even what James's idea was, like that whole system of conveyor belt with that storytelling of your job is to fix it, or to add on to that, you know, as part of the Rube Goldberg and combining all the ideas where, you know, your loved one or someone comes in, right, triggers a motion sensor, which then triggers something to an apple to drop off into a bowl, and that bowl now weighs a certain amount that triggers a pressure sensor underneath it to run a series of lights and LEDs that run all the way down to this conveyor belt that now activates, and gears turning, everything's moving, and candy's being delivered, and then ultimately a music sound or something comes up, and voila, now you have this awesome experience for Valentine's Day.
I'm sorry that we only have 11 days because you are tempting me half to death to make something like that. James, what would be something you'd build right now other than that wonderful Rube Goldberg machine?
I'm going to pass this over to Michael.
I'm still trying to think of this. The hard question. You know, a music box would be a great idea, something that you could do too, something where open it up and not only does it play music, but maybe has a spinning creation, a little minifigure might be kind of cute too, something like that. Likewise, I had one student, they didn't use Little Bits, but they used the Lego, just make a Lego kind of snow globe too, which is really, I wouldn't have thought of that project. So it was a really creative fourth grader at, I forget what school it was, but anyway, those are some great ideas as well.
Mitchell's dancing robot would look great in that snow globe.
Yeah, he came out to two versions. The first version, he just responded to sound and just kind of like shook his body. And the second version, he actually was able to talk and he did impersonations of other robotic characters like Baymax and a Dalek and from Doctor Who and, you know, fun stuff.
How awesome is that? What do you think, James? Would you like to comment on building a million Legos?
No, I'm still trying to think. I'm trying to blank.
That's okay. I did not mean to put you on the spot here.
No. I don't know.
I'm going to ask.
I'm going to like interrupt you in like a few minutes. Go away. I got an idea.
You may certainly interrupt me, as may our audience, if there's anything we're not talking about STEAM, Valentine's, and making Valentine technology here with all kinds of cool maker stuff. But I do want to ask you about resources. Mitchell, you've already talked about two of your favorite resources, the plastic where you make the flowers. I'm sorry, the name is currently eluding me. And then the Little Bits. What are some others you'd recommend to makers?
So I think really what it boils down to, there are tons of resources out there and websites. But I think what it boils down to is the greatest resource that we all have is our minds, right? Mm-hmm. Because our minds have the capability of creating things that don't exist yet. Mm-hmm. And I say yet because it all starts with an idea, right? And it's taking that idea and manifesting it in the real world. And that's one of the things that I try and focus on with my students of all ages is how to take that and remove the intimidation factor of technology, of the tools and the materials, and again, taking that idea and then breaking it down into parts that you can actually build and come up with your story.
I'd love to hear somewhere about losing that intimidation factor after we get a couple of more resources here. Michael, besides the Legos, what's another favorite for you with maker stuff?
Oh, goodness. I mean, the great thing about making anything is that everything is a resource. It's I'm not sure how related this is, but for training for our instructors, one thing we do is we give them an everyday object, like a bottle of water or a pen, and have them figure out a way to integrate into a Lego project. So they make a grabber to grab a pen. I don't know if James remembers this, but way back 2 years ago, I gave him a can of Coke to roll up a ramp and just figure out a way to get up there. And so there's a lot of ways to integrate everyday objects into the things you're making, which is really cool. Yeah, and then the nice thing about Lego, too, is that there's so many online resources where people just display what they've made. And sometimes it's Lego, sometimes it's Lego mixed with other devices or other things. And it's a fantastic, fantastic kind of Lego maker community.
Let's name one or two of those online resources.
Goodness gracious, I wish I had. You know, yeah.
Instructables is
Instructables. Yeah, that's one I'm familiar with. One. Oh, I know there's another one. Darned if I'm not freezing on it. I'm sure I'll think of it.
MakerShare. I mean, the whole Make community, you can just start on that website and that kind of takes you along the path. Right. But then you'll get into like sites like Adafruit, right? Which has some great tutorials, good online content there. Even like the various products that we've mentioned have their own.
Yeah, sure. They have their
Lego
own
has
kind of
their
resources.
Own STEM-related courseware and online tutorials, Little Bits. You go to their website, they have tons of stuff. Just all these other ones like Anki, they have Cosmo Robot, which is a great gadget that I've been playing a lot with. Meccano, who's like been in the maker space since before I was even born.
Haven't heard about Meccano in years.
Meccano, it's just construction. If you're into construction, that's one of the things to do. Wonder Workshop has a product called Dash and Dot, and they're like these little Cyclops robots. They're more durable than some of these other products, so it's great for the younger minds to work with, and they have Lego attachments, right? Who doesn't have that nowadays?
Right, but nowadays.
That's like a standard, right? Lego Plus, whatever, is wonderful, right? Yeah. That's kind of where we're at. So yeah, and I'm sure between the three of us, we can think of like a dozen or so more resources when we're under less pressure. But
that's me, the pressure lady.
There you go.
We can get to that later on too.
And by the way, Meccano blew me away because you told me about this before the panel. I was looking up. They're the folks that made the Erector sets. They date back to the 1890s. Wow.
It's crazy, right?
That's insane. James, what are some of your absolute favorite resources besides the ones we've talked about, the Meccano and the Instructables.com, the Adafruit, things of that nature?
I'm trying to think. Oh, go Khan Academy, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. Love Khan Academy. You're not familiar with Khan Academy?
No, sorry.
Khan Academy is a great resource for just learning anything, just the basics from whatever programming to whatever it is. You have brilliant minds behind that who wanted to offer a way to get free education to people. And this is a great way. And you have people learning lessons that just have great achievements to keep you motivated to learning. They kind of map out what you've learned in the past, do assessments on what you're lacking as far as like math and science and things like that. And it's stuff that, you know, maybe I learned once and I forgot, and it's all coming back to me. And it's a great resource that I'm planning to use with my son, definitely, for brushing up on those math and sciences.
KhanAcademy.org, if I remember correctly.
If you Google Khan Academy, you should be able to find it, yeah.
What kind of achievements do they offer if you have your son?
I mean, just their little, like, badges that said you've completed something or, you know, which kind of correlate with something you would see in, like, video games. Video games do a lot of that. Little achievements, they don't mean anything, but they're little achievements that you feel accomplished once you've done. But instead of doing it in the video games world, you're doing it in a sense that you're, you know, you're bettering your education.
Think of it as a gold star. I mean, gold stars, what do those
gold
mean?
Gold star, yeah. What is
these things mean something to people, okay? I love those little icons, these little badges.
I've kept every gold star from elementary school, just somehow, James. They're still on my binder.
All four of them.
And all four, exactly, all
guys,
four
I've
of them.
I've got a gold star
but
in
you,
kindergarten.
You bring up a good point, and it's really the gamification of subject matter,
yes.
Right? And that's, you know, if you think about it, too, just childhood play. right? And even in the animal kingdom, play is education, right? Animals play because they're learning survival skills, right? And we play because we're learning how to manipulate the world around us. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so that lends itself directly to online and digital learnings.
And that's such a great point, too, is play preparing us for real life, as opposed to sometimes I've heard a criticism with which I don't agree at all. Yeah. People look at Legos and say, oh, kids aren't going to be creative if you right. give them boxes of bricks, right. or maybe if you give them an Erector set or whatever, a Meccano, or any of the robots. What's your answer?
Well, I mean, it's just, I think, Michael, right?
Yeah, Michael, that's correct.
So as Michael mentioned, you know, about plastics and bricks and just, you give a kid anything and it's a resource, right? And so the Erector sets, the, you know, any Legos, little bits, all these other things, this water bottle, it's all a resource to play with and to build with and to do stuff with. So they, yeah, so in regards to, and even along the lines of like video games are bad kind of mm-hmm. thing, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that teaches hand-eye coordination, which yep. surgeons are using to train themselves in doing delicate operations. And my four-year-old knows how to play Overwatch. So, I mean, that's kind of crazy that she can handle two thumbsticks, you know?
Wow.
And so, but that's the kind of stuff where it's like you need to give them that exposure to different things and let them come up with something and think outside the box or inside the box or anywhere in between.
You were talking before about the intimidation factor, and I'd love to address that. As teachers, all of you, how do you get around that, especially when you're working with girls who maybe sure. are going, oh, science, math, yike. How do you make it special? And let's put that in a Valentine's Day theme. What would you do? Wow.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
we can't decide who's going to go. Okay. Well, I have three daughters, 4, 6, and 8. And so obviously my background is in technology, and so I wanted to expose them to, you know, as many concepts as possible related to that. And so I'll give them video games, I'll give them tech toys, and we'll build stuff, and we're just gonna make, right? And so the intimidation factor, to remove that, is one is through exposure, right? So when you get used to something, used to seeing it, it's less scary, right? Mm-hmm. Just think about the monster under the bed, right? You know, he's there for a little while, and then he goes away, and maybe he comes back, I don't know. Though you make friends with him, right? It's that same concept that you start being more exposed to it and exposed to your fears, you start to overcome them. And so that's the first part of it. And the second part is to be able to understand what is it about that intimidation, or what is it about that tech that is the intimidating part, and then to deconstruct it. And you hear me saying deconstruct a lot, and I'm very analytical. And you know, that's what you have to do. And one of the examples that I use in classrooms is really simple. When I'm teaching about electronics and circuit design, I use the example of everyday objects, right? So a flashlight. Can you tell me, Dot, what are the components of a flashlight?
All I can tell you is that we've got the lens, and we've got the small bulb, and we have the battery. We have some wires inside, and that's probably it. My husband would probably be a whole lot better at telling you the components.
Well, you there was one more thing. How do you control the power from the battery to the light?
Turn it on. Click.
Via a switch. So you just described how to build a flashlight, right?
Wow.
Have you ever built a flashlight before?
No.
You just did in your mind.
I'd love
you
that.
You just did. There you go.
What a great demo.
If there was a bigger audience, I would say a round of applause and we hear, woo. But, but yeah, it's just like that, right? Deconstructing.
You may throw some chocolates now, folks.
So deconstructing something and then, you know, and putting it piece by piece mentally first and then actually doing it. And so.
What a great illustration. That's mind-blowing. James, what do you do after you've gotten around the intimidation factor you've deconstructed? And I understand Lego has a class for girls specifically?
We do have a class specifically for girls to take them out of that element of intimidation. Because going into a classroom, sometimes it can feel like a boys' club. And it's not only our classrooms. I'm sure going into the engineering field is going into a boys' club. And people do feel intimidated about that. And not only that, when working with a group of boys, it's easy for the kids in my class to say, all right, we're going to work as a group. I want you girl, you're going to be the one who grabs us the parts. And they're going to give them a more trivial job to do. And if I see that in my class, no, I don't want that to be the experience. I want her to be building as well. I want her to be in part of the crucial components of of the build so that there is a real shared of accomplishment there in trying to break away from that, boys club. I know there's more stuff, but I'll let Michael go ahead.
No, I was just going to say one of the, kind of to piggyback on the Girl Parrot Engineering Lego class that we teach, one of the cool things and one of the ways that we try to combat the intimidation is that for those particular classes, we always make sure to have a female instructor. And it's amazing how just that one hour, we don't change the curriculum that much. Maybe the storylines might change depending on what the girls in the class or the boys in that classroom that matter are interested in. But really just having an instructor who the girls can look and go, hey, that's a girl teaching the class too, just like me. It's amazing how that alone can get a student to just go, oh, cool, I can do this too. That's awesome.
They need that role model.
Yeah, they do need it. It is like having a role model in there for them.
Having someone that looks like you makes the difference.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, absolutely.
One other thing I like to do with girls who are coming into my class and feel like I don't know how to engineer, maybe their parents brought them into our classes, they didn't really have an interest in them. I like to take something that they're familiar with, like you were saying, something that they love, and trying to replicate that. And for instance, let me think. I had a girl who was talking about, before she was going into the class, she was talking about the day before, and they went shopping, and they were having so much fun. And it was a girl that I like to check in with because she's a little intimidated. She doesn't want to really be in a part of the class, but I try to, you know, bring that connection. But she was talking about something, a wonderful experience that she had the previous day. And so I was trying to replicate that in our class, and it was like, all right, what did you see the shopping? Well, they had these elevators. I was like, let's build an elevator, and like, let's take the things that you loved and let's try to apply engineering to that rather than me saying you go build a tank and you go, you know, you go do this, something that you don't have any connection to. You're bringing that out, bringing that passion from within and taking it.
Relating it to her world. Yes. Mitchell, what are your three daughters building right now that you're teaching them that relates to their world?
Well, they love the work that I do with animatronics and taking ordinary objects and then bringing them to life. And so it's funny, my oldest, she started to do this. She started to do like hand puppets, just, you know, just with her hands, and she came up with a character, and it's a male character that she came up with the name Carol. So she'll do like a hand gesture and just like, hey, how's it going? It's me, Carol. And she'll do it just like that. And I didn't teach her that specifically, but she sees all the things that I do, and I do a lot of, you know, part of the play, right? The entertainment part to get subject matter across to students and others. It's more fun to learn, right, when you're being engaged. And so I'll do things like that too and I'll just grab, you know, a sock, right? As simple as a sock, and I'll just make it into a puppet or a snake or a monster and use different voices and stuff. And so she's starting to do that. And because she's doing that, the other two are starting to do that. And so what we'll do is we'll play music and we'll try and lip sync with our hand puppets to that, because the project that we're going to do today, after our workshop today, is going to be an animatronic. And it's a simple animatronic, it's a very simple circuit, but there's a lot of character to it. And because I was practicing building that and doing that, the kids just started to emulate that. So they tend to build based on what's around them, right? And so a lot of times, and James, you were talking about like not wanting to do something, right? Kids are kids. So, you know, if you put them somewhere and they don't want to play with Lego, it's going to be tough, right? So what I do in those kind of situations is I play with Lego. And sure enough, 5 minutes later, I got kids around me. Oh, but use this brick. Use this color. Use this. You know, and then they take over. And that's great. That's exactly what you want. And that applies to just about everything, right? So, you know, even like basic skills like just cooking, right? So if you're cooking in front of the kids and just like look like you're having fun, they want to do it. They want to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's definitely that. That's the technique that I use.
What a great way to inspire kids. I love that. Before we have to wrap up, I did want to ask you, Michael, I know you're the birthday party coordinator for Lego. What if we were to plan a Valentine themed party using what we know here and using some of the resources we've talked about?
Yeah, it's funny you asked me this question because just before we got on the podcast, James gave me a call this morning and we were talking about, all right, so what are some of the things we've done for Valentine's Day workshops before? And we just started listing off a lot of times the parents will request ideas sometimes. So that it was just really awesome. One of the things that we've done, again, and the cool thing about Lego is that you can take any project and give it a Valentine's Day spin. Again, we have a merry-go-round project, but we can make it into a music box or sort of a dancing character box. Other times we've done kind of cute little mail carriers where we're delivering Valentine's using a motorized car. So really the possibilities are endless. And sometimes it's about asking the people you're doing the party for, what is your child into? Like, what are they interested in? Kind of shifting. And it's cool as teachers for Playwall being able to come up with a storyline with the parent, because sometimes a lot of the parents are just as into coming up with ideas as you are, and it's really fun.
I've loved some of the ideas I've heard from you today, from all three of you. What if we came right down to the wire? Cool. Suddenly it's February 12th. And we haven't had any time to prepare anything for Valentine's Day. And I'm going to start with you, James, just go right down the line. What can we come up with suddenly, with Legos, with any other kind of resource that involves technology that would be fun for kids of just about any age, including the big ones?
Okay.
Putting him on the spot.
Am I being intimidating to you today?
You're being intimidating to me. No, not at all.
You're making him give away all his zums.
So we're right 2 days before Valentine's Day.
Yes.
And this is for kids.
Let's do kids and then let's do for big kids if we can.
Or big kids?
Yes.
Oh, big kids. What are the resources that we have? I like to do anything robotic with our, like the NXT, the EV3, the programming stuff that we get to do with it. So getting to program it to, I love factories. I'm getting to build a factory, like I said, yeah. is one of the things that I would like to do. That would be my go-to thing.
A Valentine's Day factory. That's a pretty good
Valentine's
idea.
Day like factory.
So anyone wants a factory,
anyways, yes, look at me. I'm gonna build that love factory.
I love that idea. How about you, Mitchell?
Wait, hang on. Wait, I gotta do this. You love building love machines.
We build a love machine.
Love machine.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, you gotta say it like that.
Love machine.
So, let's see. Where are we?
We have 2 days left till Valentine's Day.
Don't scare
two
me.
2 days.
And
oh,
we can't build a love machine
right.
for whatever
CBS
reason.
CBS is out of the question, right?
Yes. So
okay, no
what
CBS.
If, what are we going to build with very little time and very little
very
resources?
Little time.
Okay. Let's see. I'm gonna pick an age group.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because you can play anything there. Okay, so I'm going to say, let's see, I'll take 8-year-old group. Okay?
Okay.
All right. So what's popular with 8-year-olds? I don't know. There's probably a lot of things. But for my 8-year-old, she likes some of these trendy video games that are out there. Like there's one that's basically a horror type game. It's called Bendy and the Ink Machine. I know, and you're thinking, Bendy and the Ink Machine, horror game. The style of that game is 1920s cartoon style, and that's exactly what we're going to build. Not Bendy, but that style of, mm-hmm. of cartoon. So based on that, I'm going to build a character from Bendy and the Ink Machine and make it Valentine's themed, right? So one character that comes to mind, it's a female character. She's a singer, and it's Alice Angel, right? So she looks like a 1920s cartoon thing, like kind of like Betty Boopish a little bit, but with devil horns and a halo, and then she sings. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to build that. Now, what am I going to build that with? All right, this is great. Let's think about this for a second. Now, I can go to my go-to, thermoplastic, right? Easy to do. Or I can do it with just crafting foam, right? Something that is accessible to just about anybody, right? And remember, we're talking about 8-year-olds. So crafting foam, scissors, glue, because it's in that 1920s style, black and white. Right? And we'll use red to make it pop. And so that's what I'm going to build. It's going to build this type of character. If I had to incorporate technology, I just gave you the creative idea. Now to incorporate the technology part, I would use little bits, and they have an MP3 player bit, so I can sample some of the music that she sings from the game. I can sample that, and I can add in, let's say I can add in a button, motion sensor, I even have it Bluetooth controlled, to actually activate the singing. So
That's the core of the project. And then based on what customizations that we want to do, or my QA department, my three daughters, will determine the final outcome.
So they'll be your quality control, your best critics, your testers.
They are. I ask them everything. I say, is this cool? Yes, no. They'll say no. I'm like, all right, okay, fine. and then I'll go build it anyway. But then, no, in most cases, they're pretty on point.
That's great. And they'll have a new brother very soon to help them. Oh, congratulations. Yeah,
exactly. Thank you.
Congratulations. Thank you. Yeah. Before we run out of time here, it is shameless plug time. And Mitchell, I'm starting with you. And let's plug whatever projects you have coming up within the next 6 months or so that you'd really like people to know about.
Oh my gosh, so much. Just to give you guys a quick background, I'm actually the director of technology and daily advertising in West Hollywood, and we're a full service advertising agency. And I also started teaching at LMU here in California in the M School, which is a special marketing program. I co-teach the creative lab for that. And I'm also involved with a nonprofit called Encore, and they help recruit teachers from STEM fields into underserved schools in California. And so in terms of the projects that I work on, there's one project that I'm working on. I was hoping to have that done today, but it wasn't crazy scheduled. But are you guys familiar with Coco, the movie?
Yeah, the movie, yes. Sure.
Okay, so the guitar, that's cool skeleton looking guitar, that's pretty rad. So I'm recreating that, right, out of common elements, right? So it's foam core, hot glue, right? Conductive string, and little bits. Right, and it's going to have two modes of play. One mode is going to be via the conductive string, so you can strum it. And there's an oscillator that we can use to actually make the sounds. And then also, there'll be an MP3 player mode, so you can actually play one of the songs and sing along with it. And so that is going to be done in the next few weeks.
Oh, that's going to be cool. Where can people see this guitar online? Do you have a website or something?
Because I'm using Little Bits, all my Little Bits projects are on littlebits.cc, and you can just look up my name, Mitchell Malpertita, or M. Malpertita, and you'll see all the projects there. I am also starting a more, a more formalized structure to what I do outside of work, and that's through Masterful Creations Steam Academy, and that's masterfulcreations.com, and that is where I'll be able to reach out to schools and be able to provide more of my services. Because right now, they reach out to me through code.org, because I help with the Hour of Code every year. And so teachers in schools reach out to me to come to the classes, and I use my vacation time for that. But it's a passion of, it's a, what was it? Now I'm not getting my words messed up. But it's, that's what I use my time for.
That sounds like a wonderful way to use your time.
Where were you a second ago, buddy? Passion project.
I just realized what you were trying to say.
Passion project.
James, what passion projects are you involved with in the next 6 months or so you'd really like to plug?
No more. I mean, I work a lot. My
plug Playwell.
Playwell. I will plug Playwell because I do love what I do. So I teach classes. Here at Playwell, we teach engineering to kids using Lego, and you can find that on the web at www.play-well.org. You can do birthday parties and request us. Other things I do, I mean, I teach science class for homeschool groups, and that is through Science to You, and you can look that up.
Science to You, like a two.
Yeah. Anything else on them? Nope.
Being a super dad.
Being a super dad.
That's a job in itself.
Job one.
Yeah, that's job number one.
That's honestly what takes up all of my time.
Yeah.
So. That's priority one. That's great. How about you, Michael?
Yeah, again, just a shamelessly plug. Playwell, we do engineering with Lego camps, classes, programs, birthday parties, corporate events, anything involving Lego creativity and education. You know, we can do it. You can visit us at play-well.org, or if you just Google Lego Playwell, we're the first thing that pops up too.
Play-well.org. And exactly. I did happen to notice on your website it says you also do office parties. So it sounds like you do them for kids of all ages.
And sometimes the adults are more into the Lego than the kids, which is really fun.
That's very tall kids.
Exactly, very tall kids.
Michael, James, and Mitchell, thank you for your time today.
Thank you very much.
You and I have been listening today to Mitchell Malpertita, STEAM enthusiast and maker, and he does all kinds of cool stuff. He does the Hour of Code through hourofcode.org. littlebits.cc is where to see his projects, and look at masterfulcreations.com for more of an update. And then also to Michael Luong, who is Playwell Technologies Area Manager, Los Angeles, play-well.org. I hope that I got that right.
Yeah, you got it.
And to James Castellanos, all-time most requested instructor of Playwell. I hope I didn't embarrass you too much on that one. And Super Dad, play-well.org is where you'll find out more about him as well. And warm thanks to Pipe and Thimble proprietors Barb and Ellie Lieberman for this opportunity. Pipe and Thimble is Southern California's first and award-winning all-independent titles bookstore in the city of Alameda. Their location, 24830 Narbonne Avenue, near 250th. Stop by if you get a chance. And that concludes this edition of Over Coffee. Thank you for listening. Subscribe to Over Coffee through our website, twomaverix.com. That's twomaverix.com, twomaverix.com. And you can contact us at twomaverix@gmail.com. I'm Dot Cannon. Here's wishing you a cappuccino day.